Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for spending your Thursday with me, whether you're in your car going to work, at work already, still staying in bed, wherever you are. Thank you so much for listening and talking Red Sox with me today. I'm Lauren Campbell. I cover Boston sports for NESN. I've been in this world of sports now for 6+ years, covering all Boston teams. I grew up in the Boston area, born and raised, so I like to think that I know this Red Sox team inside and out. Love being able to give you a fan perspective as well as a reporter perspective. And that's pretty crucial right now for this Red Sox team that's just really continuing to struggle. Even when they win, they did not win Wednesday, even though the game was in reach. We will get to all of that. I have a jam-packed show for you. Just as a reminder, I am flying solo. Jason is on vacation, and as much as I wish he was here to banter with me, I certainly hope he's having a great time. He will be back soon, so don't worry. We will have the band back together soon enough. But before we get into this show, I want you to join Walking Baseball Encyclopedia, Paul Francis Sullivan, my good friend Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So let's just get right into it because there's no way around it. This pitching is not very good right now, and I don't need to tell you that. This has been a storyline pretty much all season. But for once, it wasn't even really the bullpen until the end of the game. There was some struggles in the beginning with Nick Pivetta. He only was able to get through 4 innings. He gave up 4 earned runs, and he just didn't really seem to have the command or the control on Wednesday. And 4 innings is just not enough with this bullpen behind you. We've seen it so many times, the bullpen just struggles to hold on to leads or keep the games close. Like I just said, that was not the case once Nick Pivetta was pulled. Austin Davis was really good. He went 2 2/3. Hirokazu Sawamura, Martin Perez, and Josh Taylor all kept the game scoreless. They did not allow a run through their outings. And they helped give the Red Sox a chance to win. And things got even more exciting in the ninth when Kyle Schwarber hit his first home run in a Red Sox uniform, and it certainly was a good one and certainly one he will remember. The Red Sox were down 4-2 in the bottom of the ninth. They had a man on second, and what did he do? He launched one into the bleacher seats to tie the game, give a little life back to Fenway, and continue to be incredibly productive and incredibly strong for the Red Sox. He's shown incredible plate patience. He's really been successful at the plate since he got acquired by Boston at the trade deadline. And man, what a time to hit your first home run with your new team. Unfortunately, Hansel Robles, who was the hero in Tuesday's game, whose stuff looked really nasty in Tuesday's game, could not get it done. And as Harvey Dent once said in The Dark Knight, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And Hansel Robles only needed 24 hours to become the villain. Robles came in with the game tied at 4-4 in the 10th, and he gave up a home run to none other than Josh Donaldson. He made the game 6-4, and the game still was in reach within that point, but Hansel Robles certainly didn't look like how he did Tuesday. He gave up 4 earned runs, and that was the difference. The Twins ended up beating the Red Sox 9-6. And had it only been the home run to Josh Donaldson, the Red Sox would have tied it in the 10th. But we cannot play what ifs. Especially when the pitching wasn't the only problem the Red Sox were facing in Wednesday's game. They've made a lot of mental errors of late, especially on Saturday against the Rangers. They played a lot of sloppy baseball. There was 5 errors total. And errors that didn't really need to be made. And sloppy base running. And once again, we saw that Wednesday. The Red Sox were down 4-0 in the 4th when Alex Verdugo just kind of admired a hard-hit ball that was hit to center. It didn't leave the park, though. So instead of hitting a double, he was thrown out backtracking the first, and that really put the Red Sox in a bind. I mean, you're risking men on base for that in a time where you need to be absolutely positive that ball is leaving the park, you need to make sure you can get on base. If there's even a slim chance you can get on base, the Red Sox need to capitalize on that. And it's also worth noting that Christian Vasquez did not run home on contact after what I'm assuming was him forgetting that the Red Sox had two outs. So he was kind of stuck in the middle of the base path just watching the ball. And when there's two outs, you obviously run no matter where the ball goes. Once the bat hits the ball, you go. And Christian Vasquez seemingly forgot that. And Alex Cora sounded absolutely defeated after the game. And you know what? I can't blame him. He said after Wednesday's game, forget the outs. We didn't run out of the box. Probably a different game early on. And if you can look up this audio, if you can watch it on NESN, watch it on Twitter, wherever you can, Alex Cora just sounds like a man who is defeated because he's doing all he can with the roster he has in front of him and nothing seems to be working. These players are, I don't want to say mentally checked out, but they are making errors that makes it look like they are mentally checked out. Everyone forgets about the outs in an inning every now and then, yes, but the Red Sox cannot afford these kinds of errors. It is too late in the season. They are clinging to that wild card spot. There's just absolutely no room for errors right now, and there's too many of them being made. At the end of the day, the pitching again was the problem. The offense still struggled with men in scoring position. However, the offense did put up 6 runs. 9 times out of 10, that should be enough to win you the game, but it just isn't for the Red Sox this season. And with Matt Barnes continuing to struggle through the month of August, and he was given an off day Wednesday, a much, much needed off day, this closing position for the Red Sox all of a sudden is a problem. And Matt Barnes, like I said, he's struggled, but the Red Sox continued to stick with him. They showed confidence in him no matter how often he struggled because he could locate his pitches or he did have the command. But at the end of the day, Matt Barnes just did not look confident. He looked like he had just lost all control of anything he was trying to do. Batters were hitting everything off of him. And after Tuesday's meltdown of not being able to get an out in the 9th, the Red Sox decided to not pitch him and not make him available for Wednesday. But before Wednesday's game, Alex Cora was asked about if Barnes was going to be the closer when he returned to the mound. And in Tuesday's post-game press conferences, Matt Barnes also was asked if he would be comfortable stepping away, and he said he was going to leave that up to Alex Cora. That was not his decision. That's Alex Cora and Dave Bush's call. So naturally, Alex Cora was asked about that Wednesday before the game kicked off, and Alex Cora wasn't exactly committed to keeping Barnes in that closing role. Here's what Cora said before the game. He said, "Obviously, the results are not there. This happens to a lot of people, a lot of closers around the league. But at the end of the day, we don't really care about that. It happens. We've got to correct it. We got to work with him and we got to get him in a better place." Well, he's certainly saying all the right things because, yes, the Red Sox do need to get Matt Barnes in a better place. And his ERA is up to almost 17 for the month of August. And man, you just cannot have that as a closer. You are relied on to close out these games. And we saw for so long throughout this season, we saw Matt Barnes do that. We know he can do that. And Cora doesn't even really know if this is a quick fix for Barnes. He said, "We're about to see. He's down today. There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind closed doors. Mechanics, see if it's tipping. There's a lot of stuff you try to fix in a short period of time. So we'll see how it goes whenever he gets back on the mound." Now, I don't expect Barnes to be fixed in a matter of a day. Pitching is incredibly complicated. It's so much more than just, hey, throw better. But they need him to figure it out fast. Again, this is a problem. Hansel Robles obviously cannot close. The bullpen is a mess. Martin Perez, even though he did fine Wednesday, he's not reliable. Austin Davis, even though he did fine Wednesday, is not reliable. There's no one reliable enough in that bullpen to close games. I don't think a closer by committee is really the way to go when you have people like Garrett Richards, Martin Perez, guys like that in the bullpen. I just don't see them as closers. You can't put them in high leverage situations. So when Barnes comes back, Cora doesn't even know if he'll go back into the closing role. He said, "We'll see how the games go. We'll use him accordingly. I don't want to say he's not the closer. He is the closer. We got to get him right, and there's different ways of doing that. Low leverage situations, big lead late in the games. I think that's the goal right now. We got to figure out some stuff today as far as like his mechanics or whatever we find today and go from there. We need to dig in first and get him right, and then we'll make decisions. I know Cora said he's the closer, but when you're telling us that you're going to put him potentially in low leverage situations with a big lead late in the game, that's not a closing situation. That's not a save opportunity. It certainly sounds like they're trying to build back his confidence, and they need to. They need Matt Barnes to be the Matt Barnes he was in the first half of the season before everything just kind of spiraled for him. We still have a lot to get to with this bullpen in our second segment. But first, our show is supported by Built Bar. Jason and I absolutely love this bar. It's great for when you're on the go. It's great for a pre-workout snack. And the best part is they have so many delicious flavors. I'm on a cookies and cream kick. Jason's on a raspberry kick right now. But they also have coconut, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, German chocolate, even orange and strawberry. There's literally something for everybody. And if you want to try all the flavors, or if you haven't tried all of them yet, you can get a mixed box from Built Bar where you'll get two of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bars really good tasting, they don't give you that cardboard feel that some protein bars do, they're also really healthy. These macros are so good, and they can fit essentially into any diet. They have 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, and all healthy. Order today and you can get the raspberry, cookies and cream, German chocolate, whatever you want. Built Bar also is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which is pretty neat. And we have a special offer for you. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Welcome back. So this bullpen has been a topic of the entire season, really. So going into this season, a lot of questions were surrounding the starting pitching because Erod was starting the season on the IL. He did have dead arm, but there certainly still were a lot of questions surrounding his overall health because of his bout with COVID and myocarditis. So obviously you want him to be healthy from that. Thankfully, for the most part, it looks like he's been clear of any complications. He did have the migraine, but that could have just been a migraine. I suffer from them, and they certainly are no fun when they just come on randomly and you're trying to fight it off. So overall, Erod is healthy, and that is the most important thing. We knew they were going to be without Chris Sale for a while. He's made his return. He looks great. He obviously is still on an inning/pitch count. They're being very cautious with him, and rightfully so. And also the bullpen. The bullpen had a lot of questions going in. Even when Matt Barnes was named the closer, people were wondering why. He really has struggled over the course of his career. I don't think he's been as bad as the numbers have shown at times. But Alex Cora challenged him to be the team's closer, and he really owned it for the first half of the season. And he's a completely different pitcher, or he's the pitcher that he's been for most of his career in the second half. And we've talked about this so often. Jason and I have made a point to say that this trade deadline could come back to haunt the Red Sox. And I think it did again Wednesday night. Because even though most of the bullpen held it down, they still weren't able to get it done. Hansel Robles, like I said, he gave up what proved to be the game-winning home run. And the Red Sox don't exactly have a farm system full of relief pitchers. They don't have relief pitchers in AAA waiting to be called up. The only person they have who's on the verge of returning is Ryan Brazier. And I'm pretty sure I said this on Tuesday or Wednesday. I've definitely said it a couple of times. He will not be the Lord and Savior of this bullpen. Will he provide help? Yes, he will. But will he save this season? Absolutely not. Not only is that too much pressure to put on him, but it's also unrealistic. Just like it was unrealistic to think Chris Sale was going to save this rotation. He's going to bolster it, absolutely. He's going to provide a spark to this team, absolutely. But Chris Sale, if he's only going 5 innings and the Red Sox only win once every 5 games when he's on the mound, it's just not sustainable. But with Ryan Brazier, he's even struggled throughout his rehab assignments. He's given up some runs, he's given up a lot of hits, he has had scoreless innings, which certainly is encouraging. And today, Cora was asked about when he could return or when he'll be activated, and Cora still isn't sure, which is a little discouraging because he recently said there was a light at the end of the tunnel, they can see that light, when before they weren't really sure if they'd be able to see it at all. So they're not sure when he'll be activated to the Red Sox. He will pitch again Thursday, but the good news is this doesn't sound like any sort of injury setback. New England was hit with Tropical Storm Henri over the weekend, so a lot of games were postponed, and that kept Ryan Brazier from sticking with his schedule. And of course, because it's New England, it rained every single day pretty much in July, so why not add a tropical storm in August, right? But continuing with this theme of the bullpen throughout this show, it's such a problem. Starters have gone into a relief role because they've struggled, you know, with Garrett Richards and Martin Perez. Starters are not going deep into games. And the only person I'm excusing from that is Chris Sale because of his innings count and the Red Sox being cautious with him. Chris Sale went deeper in his two starts than Nick Pivetta did Wednesday night. Nate Eovaldi, he's the only one going deep constantly into games. And the pitching is just so problematic. I sound like a broken record. And I feel like this is so much of what we've talked about since we've taken over the show and relaunched this podcast. But all the problems are coming to light right in front of the Red Sox's face. And it's spiraling and it's turning really, really fast. And it's not just the pitching. I know I've spent a majority of the show talking about the pitching being problematic, but it's also first base. And Kyle Schwarber should make his debut on Thursday. Cora did say that Schwarber had yet to do so because of how long the games had gone on. They were some four-hour games this week, but Wednesday's also went 4 hours, so we won't know if Schwarber will be at first base till a couple hours before the game tonight. So I guess the good news is he is excited to play the position. He said after Wednesday's game that he's ready. It is a little nerve-wracking because he's never played the position as well as his hamstring and groin injuries. So you just hope that it will work for the Red Sox because at this point, it just seems like they're throwing spaghetti at the fridge and hoping it sticks. And hey, maybe it does. Maybe it works. But there's not a lot of games left to just sit here and hope something works out. But I am an optimist at the end of the day. And I want to see the good in this team. I want to be excited that Schwarber is excited. And I am. I really, really am. I just hope it works out. I don't want another Christian Arroyo fiasco where he gets hurt at his debut at first base. So while yes, there are 34, 35 games left in the season, there is still time for the Red Sox to turn it around, to win games, to go on a productive run here. There's just not a lot of time to be tinkering with your lineups, figuring out who's going to be closing games. We're in the end of August. September is less than a week away. The playoffs are starting in about 6 weeks. The Red Sox still are clinging to that second wildcard spot. I guess the good news here is that the Yankees and the A's did not play Wednesday, so the Red Sox did not lose any ground by losing to the Twins. So all's well that ends well, or whatever they say, but there are a lot of problems the Red Sox need to correct very quickly if they want to hold on to that wild card spot. And it starts with the closing role while also needing to deal with first base and some of your bullpen too. Coming up in our third segment, we are forgoing the unpopular opinion today for good reason. And I will end this show on a positive note. It's kind of a Debbie Downer show, so I want to end it on a very, very positive note for you so you can begin, continue, or end your Thursday in the right mindset. But before we get to that, I want to shout out our friends at BetOnline.ag because it's that time of the year again and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo, which is Make a Bet on Thursday, September 9th, the season opener, between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. But if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using the promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code LOCKEDON. We also are supported by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now almost impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why should you endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers, you have cell phones, and they have access to rockauto.com at home and right in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for some of these parts from a chain store or car dealership? Sometimes going to the car dealership is just a hassle in and of itself. But Rock Auto is a family business business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and the Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every single customer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, welcome back to our third and final segment of today's show. This usually is where I give you an unpopular opinion, but we're going to skip over that today because I want to jump right into the positive takeaway because it is such a feel-good story and I don't want anything negative overshadowing it. So Tuesday and Wednesday marked the annual WEEI NESN Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. It's an awesome two-day event that raises so much money for cancer research. And Alex Cora revealed on WEEI's OMF show right before first pitch of Wednesday's game that he would be donating $113.13 for each of the Red Sox 72 wins on the season. So that means that's a grand total of $8,145.36 that was donated to the Jimmy Fund. And Alex Cora did not stop there. He said he will donate that same amount, the $113.13, for each additional win the Red Sox had this season. So just an incredible gesture. And obviously the Jimmy Fund is very near and dear to the Red Sox hearts. They do so much with the organization year after year. And more than that, NESN's Jerry Remy unfortunately is undergoing cancer treatment once again. So it just means a little bit more this year. And Alex Cora even spoke to Jerry Remy. He said, "He's not only important to Red Sox Nation, in the clubhouse we miss him dearly. He used to be there, I'd get there at 1:30 and he's there waiting for the lineups. It's been tough not talking to him lately and not having him around, but I know he's fighting the fight and we're fighting with him and we know he's going to be okay." This just goes to show how much Jerry Remy means to the team, how good of a person Alex Cora is, and how much the Jimmy Fund just means to Boston and the Red Sox. So this seems like a perfect time to end today's show. Thank you once again for sticking around, talking Red Sox with me. Be sure to connect with me on Twitter at lalalalauren, three laws, Lauren with four R's, and the Locked On Red Sox Twitter account at @LO_Red Sox. And please rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Red Sox podcast so you don't miss an episode the second it drops. And also be sure to check out all the other amazing MLB shows we have across the Locked On Network, Locked On MLB, Locked On Rays, Locked On Yankees. I'm sure they're having a great time during this awesome stretch with the Yankees. So be sure to check all of that out. And one more thing before I go, betting on the Red Sox and MLB does not have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day. We will see you Friday.